This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Sal back on the fan on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll continue with your phone calls in just a little bit. 888-808-1019. We're talking Matthew Stafford, the possibility of him to the Giants. We're talking Mets and Yankees lineups as we get set with pitchers and catchers reporting for the Yankees today. I think both Boone and Mendoza are going to meet the media today. Boone speaking shortly, if not right now. Mendy, I think, a little bit later on. But, BT, you were just talking about it with Bogush a little bit as I was heading out to go to the bathroom. I heard you mentioning it. An update here. Some news on Aaron Rodgers.
This is really, really interesting. So, this is from The Athletic. Diana Rossini had this quote. I was told that when they had conversations with Rodgers about what the future would look like, if you're going to be part of the, this is all quote, if you're going to be part of the team, you're going to attend all the training camp, you're not going to do the Pat McAfee interviews anymore. And then they had a conversation with him, quote, if you want to stay here, here's how we're going to want it to be. And then that's the end of the quote. But then they say this is Aaron Glenn trying to get some control back here. And this is all I needed to know. Now, if this report's true, and I have no reason to think that it's not, if we get different information, then I'll reassess. My big thing when we started the show yesterday about Aaron Rodgers no longer being on the Jets was I need to know what the Jets' mindset was when he flew to New Jersey last week. Were they open-minded enough where if they presented him with some changes and he was willing to acquiesce, would he still be a member of the Jets? I didn't know. Was it along the lines of, hey, no matter what, listen, we appreciate you. We're not going to disrespect you. You're a legend. It didn't work out. All due respect. We're going to start from scratch. We're going to move on. I didn't know what it was. Now that we know, I think the Jets handled this superbly. It shows you, number one, the timeliness of this. We're not waiting for 9 days after the Super Bowl. We're not letting little dribs and drabs and this possible, you know, we might do this and this guy's thinking that and this person's leaking this. It was, hey, let's meet. Here's what we want. You either want in or you don't. He wasn't fully in. He's gone. I think the Jets nailed it.
Yeah, it's why I said the other day that now the reason why I like this, even though I would have wanted Rodgers back and I would have wanted him back with a proven head coach, but why I think that this is the right move for Aaron Glenn and the Jets is because it clearly shows who's in charge. Without even knowing the details, you could just assume where in years past it was like, well, who's in charge? I don't know. Rodgers clearly the guy. Is it Saleh? I don't think so. It's clearly Rodgers is the one who seems to be calling the shots, and that shouldn't be the case. Even as great as Rodgers is and has been in throughout the course of his career, you need the lead dog. You need that top guy to establish control of the organization. Aaron Glenn is that as the head coach, and he wanted Rodgers back under the circumstances that he wanted Rodgers back under. And Rodgers wouldn't, you know, cave to that. By the way, Rodgers is right. He's earned that right, being, you know, the veteran player that he is. He could decide, you know what, that's great, and I respect that you're saying you don't want me to do this and that, but I'm going to do this and that. And if you don't like that, then I'm going to go elsewhere. And now Rodgers finding himself elsewhere, but that's the right move for the Jets. They needed that.
That makes me feel really good, even better that they hired the right person. There's real clarity right now. There's nothing, you know, to interpret who's running the show, what's Woody's influence, is Aaron Glenn going to get run over, which I didn't think he would. But the fact that he laid down the law this early, and you know that Muji had his back, and because it was never going to be about money, because the Aaron Rodgers always expressed a willingness to rework some of the money to make it work if they could. And it wasn't about him being willing to to groom a young quarterback because he was on the record with that. He said it on the McAfee show that he was going to take less money. They'd be happy to work with a young kid because he learned his lessons from Brett Favre, and that Jordan Love obviously said good things about Rodgers. So even with Green Bay, he was more accessible than Favre was, and he would have done the same thing here. It was never money, never role. It's the other stuff. And listen, a lot of these guys do, like Micah Parsons has his own podcast and other guys. I get it. But when you're a quarterback, you know, it's easier for even Dallas with the media scrutiny with Jerry Jones, it's easy for them to get a little separation from something a defensive player says rather than the quarterback, which really does blur the line of authority.
Yeah, I think that this is a huge day. When you start hearing that stuff, now you really can believe in Aaron. And that doesn't mean that it's going to translate to wins, but it is a big step in the right direction. Huge day to believe in your head coach if you're a Jet fan, knowing that he set the rules down. That's what you want. Rodgers had the chance to come back. I do think that they wanted him back, but it's got to be knowing you're all in. You're going to give your all to this team. No selfish acts. Everybody here is going to be rolling in the same direction, pulling in the same direction. This is what I want from you, the head coach. Right or wrong, you're the head coach. You set the ground rules of saying, here's what I need from you. And because I'm asking this of you, I'm asking this of everybody, I need you to also follow suit, because if I don't ask this of you, then how could I ask, you know, Joe Schmo down the hallway here to do the same thing when I'm making different rules for you? Everybody together on this team, no separate rules. This is how it is. We want you back. We believe in you. But if you want to operate like that, like going on McAfee, as silly as that may seem, then you know what? We don't feel like you're best for us right now.
Yep. And I don't have a problem with, you know, you've heard this expression before that in football, you know, not everybody subscribes to this, but some people say, and I've heard people say it, that I treat 53 players differently.
Yeah, right.
But there's certain things that are
not. Who said that with us, as a matter of fact, about the roster? Remember we were saying about holding guys accountable? When he
says it's very recent. Who was that?
Boone.
Boone did say
Boone,
with
when
baseball,
he was in with us talking about it, that whole, you know, each guy is managed differently.
Good call. He absolutely did say that. That was a great chat with Boone. So if you guys missed it, Odyssey app, YouTube, WFAN, all that stuff, it was great a couple of weeks ago. By the way, BT and Sal too, Boone nothing. But, and the Baseball Card World Series, it seems like almost a contradiction because, no, like, you shouldn't necessarily treat people different, but you have to understand the root of the words. Like, when you say, when Boone says, I'm going to treat guys different because that's just the way it is, he's not going to make Giancarlo Stanton run as many sprints on the third day of spring training as he is Jason Dominguez, because he knows the fragility of his body and different things like that.
But the rules, the overall
rules. Yeah. But it just he said handling, right, like how Boone handles players, and I'm fine with that. Yeah, but there cannot be a distortion of power. And when the quarterback is no longer at the apex of his superpowers as a player, and he's still a mouthpiece for the franchise. And again, I wanted Rodgers back, but I wanted him back under the right conditions. He didn't want him. I actually feel really good about this. This is good stuff, Jeff fans.
BT and Sal on the fan. Sonny is in Malvern. What's up, Sonny?
Couldn't disagree with you guys more. Listen, I agree with the stuff, but the Jets never wanted him back. You can't go into that meeting with stipulations saying you can't go on the Pat McAfee show. That's like telling Eli Manning you can't go on the Mike Francesa show every week. That's ridiculous.
That's
you cut off his freedom of speech. And you knew Aaron Rodgers was never going to accept that, guys.
Sonny, you don't know that.
Yeah, you just reported that, guys. What are you talking about?
We didn't report anything.
No, but we didn't report. Sonny, what you're saying is we read a report. We identified a story that is attributed to somebody else in The Athletic. What you're doing is you're trying to read the mind of the Jets, which none of us can do.
Yeah, but if that report is accurate, right, BT, you say this probably is, there's no reason to believe it.
Uh-huh.
So what's there not to believe in that? He basically said, Glenn, I'm talking about, and the Jet organization, that you can't go on that Pat McAfee show.
I understand that.
That was the highlight of your, you know,
okay,
your
yeah, but maybe they were hoping that he would say, okay, you know what, guys, I do just want to play ball, and I want to help you accelerate this rebuild, and maybe he would have said okay.
BT, you can't be that naive. You knew Aaron Rodgers.
What do you mean?
He was not going to say,
Sonny, why can't you go on the Pat McAfee show? Why can't you ask that? That's not a ridiculous request. We talked about it last year.
Yes.
With all these players that sit there podcasting, give interviews, you can't tell Aaron Rodgers he can't go on the Pat McAfee show.
Yes,
that is ridiculous.
Yes, you can, and they just did.
Yep.
And thank you for the call. Yes, you can, and they just did, and he's not here. The way you do it, I would do the same thing with Micah Parsons if I were running things in Dallas.
Mm.
Hey, listen, no more podcasts. You're talking out. We're getting our ass kicked week in, week out. You're running your mouth on the podcast. It's stupid. Now, the players don't have to listen to that, but neither do I as the head coach.
Yeah.
I can set my rules however I want to. Now, you could assume, Sonny, that the Jets didn't want Rodgers and they just said, I'm not buying that. I'm buying that Glenn and Muji were open to bringing Rodgers back because they thought he could help them on the field this year. They wanted to see where he was at mentally, about the OTAs, whatever it may be, the involuntary camps, the McAfee stuff, all of that. Where is he at? Rodgers doesn't want to change at this point in his career. So the Jets felt that they wanted to move on. They're allowed to do that. What's the issue? And even if they did want Rodgers out, so what? But why wouldn't they just come out and say we didn't want him back? Why would they
Why are they going to jump through hoops to make it seem like they were trying to retain him? Why have this elaborate plan when all you could have done is say, hey, we respect him whenever they put this release out. Legend, all-time great. We appreciate his contributions. We wish him well. Why go through a song and dance?
I guess because the only thing there is the fans who wanted him back.
Well, you play the PR game.
But even so, even if the fans who wanted him back, like, is this going to make a difference?
I wanted him back, and I'm cool with it.
That's what I'm saying. I get it.
Come on, you wanted him back.
Yeah, same thing.
You're cool with it.
Because I like establishing, laying the groundwork here. And by the way, if Eli Manning were causing problems during his interviews with Mike when he did it years ago, and they felt like it was a problem for the team, I guarantee you Coughlin, if you were running the show, would have said, hey, none of this. No more. No more with the interviews. It got to a point where Rodgers and McAfee were taking precedent over everything.
Yes.
And not even just New York Jets lore. I'm talking like in the football land, it was couldn't wait for Rodgers whenever he was on Wednesdays at 1 or whatever it was with McAfee. Like, oh, what's Rodgers going to say? Even when he wasn't playing.
Yeah.
He was out the entire year, but he became the focal point. Talking about the inner workings of the organization on with McAfee. Come on. It was annoying. You either want to be all in or you don't. Aaron Glenn's a culture guy trying to change the culture here. Rodgers didn't want to be all in to their degree.
So you guys have to understand this. It's a trickle-down impact. So, and maybe I'll play the semantics game. Like, all right, so if you don't think that you've got the power to tell Aaron Rodgers what to do, and by the way, I think that they do, but if you don't want our last call.
Sala?
Well, no, but you can certainly ask, which is what the Jets did. They asked his willingness to change some of the things he does. And whatever was communicated back to the Jets apparently wasn't good enough for them, which basically means he said stick it in a nice way, because I don't think Rodgers is like that. By the way, two things could be true. I loved watching the McAfee stuff with Rodgers because I find Aaron Rodgers interesting. Right. Not with everything, but with a lot of things, right?
Me too.
But also, when it's my team, and you're 3 wins, and it's past Halloween, it's no longer fun. And the subset of that, you got to understand, guys, you start at the top, and it all trickles downhill. If you cut off the Rodgers McAfee, in their eyes, distractions, nonsense, whatever it might be, well, then guess what? Guys like Garrett Wilson, guys like Sauce, guys like Quinnen Williams, they don't think that they've got the freedom to tweet whatever the hell they want.
Bingo. It's not just a Rodgers thing. Glenn is setting a precedent here. He's holding guys accountable. He's setting the law down. This is how we do it. And when you talked about the power thing, I thought you were talking about, like, does Glenn have the meaning, like, from Woody's perspective? Because I don't think Sala had that. I would be willing to bet that Robert Sala would prefer Aaron Rodgers not go on McAfee every single week. He couldn't do anything about it. That's maybe even the bigger part where Woody says, Aaron, you make the decision. You want Aaron Rodgers back? So be it. You don't want him back? So be it. Go figure it out. Glenn and Muji talk to Rodgers. They say, here's what we do. We want, or whatever they said, but we'll take you back under these circumstances. We're intrigued by you. We love the way that you play. But I don't want this, this, or this. If you can't agree to that, then we're going to move on. And why Rodgers might acquiesce is that he might not have any better options. Does he really want to be the quarterback of the New York Jets? Does he really want to be a Jet and be in New York? If he did, then he would punt the McAfee show and be a New York Jet. He preferred the McAfee stuff, which is fine. It's his right.
Mm-hmm.
I still love Aaron Rodgers, but it's also then Aaron Glenn's right to make the decision. That's great, but we want guys who want to do something different and make our team the number one focal point of their life.
Now, you raised a good issue, and I don't know the answer to this. Like, did Robert Sala not have the power from Woody to do that, or did Robert Sala not have the backbone to do that?
I think he didn't have the power. Probably not the
I don't know
either.
The answer to that. Now, by the way, if
he did call him out for missing the OTAs. right? The ball,
yeah,
whatever.
But
it was.
Even the way he did it, it was just.
It's an excuse.
Like the way he did. First day, I think it was he didn't. Yeah, I didn't even like the
because
way he did that
because he's unsure of himself.
Correct.
Because he didn't have the right standing.
True. That's true too. But like, let's say that Robert Saleh. Let's say that you're right. Your instincts are right. And Robert Saleh didn't have the power from Woody to drop the hammer and order Rodgers to stop that stuff. I actually, even though I don't necessarily think that that's true, I hope that it is because what that tells me now is that Woody is now giving the power to other people, which is what we've been begging for.
That's exactly my point. That's exactly what
that
I'm saying.
That means he's changing.
Correct.
We've been looking for signs like, well, yeah, it doesn't change till it changes. Huh, maybe this is the first sign of change.
Right. That's exactly my point, that it's bigger than just Aaron Glenn having the say, that Woody is letting Aaron Glenn and Muji have the say. I think that's a great thing for the Jets. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls. 888-808-1019 on the Fan. This Tuesday, we'll get back to the calls here in just a sec. Aaron Boone was just addressing the media for the first time, pitchers and catchers, Yankee Stadium. I was hoping that somebody had the, I don't know, initiative or fun thought to ask him about taking two L's in the offseason to BT and Sal when he came to the studio on the Fan.
Were you thinking or you were plotting to have somebody do it? So, Skip, you know, obviously here we are, you know, mid-February. You guys have shaken off the loss to the Dodgers and you know, restacked and getting ready for a big season here. As you reflect on the 2024 season and move forward, what was tougher to get past?
Yeah.
Was it the Dodgers loss or was it getting smacked around by BT and Sal and all the Fan?
Oh, come on. Where's Sweeney Murdy when you need him? Maybe Emmanuel Barbari if he's down there. I'm going to get on him and get him to say it. But
that would have been great.
I would have loved to.
We're working on it, by the way. He's going to have more press conferences.
Boone still, of course, basking in his glory being the Eagle fan that he is, having some fun with that.
Yes.
Getting his troops set for what should be a big year. I mean, look, BT, for a while we were saying the Yankees need to get back to the World Series. You know, obviously they want to win one, but they haven't been back there since 2009. Well, now they've checked that box, so now all that's left to do is win the World Series. All right, we're talking some Stafford earlier in the show. We got Rodgers as a topic. The Mets lineups, there's a lot to get to. Let's go through the calls, BT. Brad is in Harlem talking about Rodgers. What's up, Brad?
Yeah, you're talking about Aaron Rodgers. Green Bay didn't put up with his stuff. He wanted the receivers. He wanted to run his own offense. Green Bay said no. You know, I think the Jets lost Aaron Rodgers, which is not a good thing. They should have just stuck up to him and just said, listen, we're not going to run your offense, that slow, methodical offense that any defensive coordinator can predict what he's going to do. Kept him on, let him be a leader, and then, you know, bring up the new quarterback. But don't put up with this stuff. The Jets are the only organization that's going to put up with this stuff.
Well, not anymore.
No other NFL team's going to put up with
it. Yeah, but not anymore than not, Brad. That's the point.
Did you miss the story we just said?
I know. I get it.
You mean when they got him?
They're getting rid of him, but they should have had the backbone to stand up to him, but keep him. He is a good asset.
Yeah, but Brad, hold on, Brad. You're missing one really important point. You know, you want to use the term stood up. Okay, they did stand up to him. They did not like Rodgers' response, and now they're moving on.
Right.
They did stand up to him.
What are they going to break his hand until he does what they
force
want?
Him?
I mean, yeah, you can't do that. They had a conversation, and their takeaway from that conversation, again, we don't know the exact details. We were not in the room. We had our thoughts before this report, but then the latest report from The Athletic, and it was both Rosenblatt and Rossini.
I just saw Rossini, but they usually collaborate on this stuff. Rossini had it
saying that part of the conversation was about the McAfee interviews or the involuntary camp, whatever.
Yep.
And the Jets felt, coming away from it, that they wanted to move on. So you do the math. Like, it's not that hard to figure out here. Aaron Glenn was asking one thing of a player on his roster. That player didn't want to do what Glenn felt comfortable with. They're moving on. That's the right thing to do.
It's the perfect thing to do. It sends a great message. The other thing, and the other point that the last caller made that I also disagree with, he said, you know, that you should have just forget about him running the system that he runs well. Just do what the new system is going to be and what they tell you to do. Well, then he's not Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Now, I know he's not quite Aaron Rodgers from the MVP anyway, those days with four MVPs, but that would be like, you know, I don't know, take any big, like get Tim Duncan back in the day and have him try to run like the Lakers, like play that style with Magic. Like, though, that's not his style. And Aaron Rodgers to play a different brand of football. Well, I agree. There could have been a little more eye candy. It was too easy to diagnose. Why'd you get Aaron Rodgers if you're going to have him play differently?
The Jets, at the time, a couple of years ago, unfortunately put themselves in the spot where they had no choice but to bend over backwards to every demand because they were desperate for the star quarterback, thinking that it could at least help get this franchise back on track. It was the right move then. It didn't pan out. But now this is the right thing to do. Even with a quarterback with that potential, no more nonsense, no more the other stuff. Aaron Glenn is hired. You have one guy who's clearly in control. That's what the Jets need. And if Rodgers didn't want to buy in, you were saying this, BT, last year in season, or maybe even 2 years ago now, going back to the offseason leading up to last year. Here's what I tell Rodgers. It's this and that. Otherwise, there's a door. Mm-hmm. See ya. And that's what the Jets just did. Now, it took them a little while. I understand why they did it the other time. They had to do it that way. They don't anymore. Now Aaron Glenn is in charge and Rodgers is out.
And the reason they don't have to do it is because Mucci's never, you know, whiffed on a quarterback like Wilson at number
Correct.
Two, like Joe Douglas. And Aaron Glenn never had, you know, bad press conferences where he let guys off the hook for lack of discipline, 17 penalties or whatever it might be. You know, they're not trying to save their ass. Those other guys were. And when you try to save your own behind, you know, you usually bend the rules a little bit and kind of look the other way because you think it's going to save you.
I think it's an excellent point because Robert Saleh in year one, you could have seen maybe a scenario where he would have handled this the same exact way.
Mm-hmm.
By year three, he had no choice.
He's got no juice.
He already failed. He was hanging on by a thread to begin with. That it was over. You could tell by the way he talked, by the way he acted. He had no chance to handle Aaron Rodgers. It was basically bending down. Oh, please, Aaron, come save us here.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a totally different scenario. That's why maybe finally the Jets are getting this right. And you can see some of the signs there. Even with an inexperienced general manager and first-time head coach and now no quarterback, the moves that they're making within the front office that haven't been done in years, even with the multiple regime changes, those are telling to culture building. This now follows it up. Where they had a player, a high-profile player who still has some ability, they didn't like what he was saying to fit their culture.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the field. This isn't about breaking down the film.
No.
It's about him not fitting their culture. That's how you truly change it.
It just feels like it's been stabilized. I'm going to use
yes.
that word. It feels there's a little stability now. And, you know, imagine Saleh trying to tell Aaron Rodgers, that's it with McAfee. I don't know that Rodgers would quite deliver it this way. I don't think he's a jerk, but Rodgers could have very easily said, hold on, let me get this straight, coach. So you're telling me to stop going on the radio, the same guy who's texting a radio guy and the radio guy's reading your text over the air, and you want me to stop going on a show?
Bingo.
Stop.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it.
Can't do that. Chris is in Port Jeff. I want to talk about that Mets lineup. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, I just want to talk about some of the guys. You know, I hear a lot of Mets fans talking about we need another guy. But the one guy that I think we have is Kodai Senga. Missed the whole season last year. He had one good start, and then, you know, playoffs, he wasn't the same. But as I'm sitting here waiting on the fan, I get an ESPN update saying that he's feeling good, his shoulder's feeling good, and he's ready for a full workload. So, you know, I and also a guy like Brandon Sprout, too, solidified. You know, I think this is exactly where the Mets need to be with Mendoza. Stern's making all the right moves, being stern with Pete Alonso. And, you know, like I said, man, I just love where the Mets are at. And I think that guy that we're missing is in our pitching staff with Brandon Sprout coming up and Kodai Senga being healthy.
Well, Sprout, we'll see. And thank you for the call, Chris. And, of course, in case you've missed anything, we had Harold Reynolds on of MLB Network earlier. Check it out on the Free Odyssey app. Then we're starting to talk about the Mets because Harold wasn't – I don't want to say he wasn't too thrilled with the Mets move. He said they need more, multiple things. Talking about pitching, talking about the lineup. I do think it's a good point that Senga – now, I don't love Senga – I like Senga.
I like him more than you.
I think Senga is a good, really good number three and maybe a solid number two. In this Mets rotation, maybe now it's different than it was a year ago where he was going to be the ace last year, which I didn't like. Remember, his first year, he was behind Scherzer and Verlander in the rotation.
Yep.
And he turned out to be the ace. Those guys didn't get the job done. Last year, he was expected to be the ace. He didn't pitch. This year, it's probably going to be in between where he's going to be, I would think, slotted
behind. Number two.
Yeah. I mean, Manaea, how do you not give him the ball
on
opening
day? He gets it. He's
the ace.
Yep.
He earned it last year. So I would give Manaea the ball opening day, and Senga's going to be behind him. Again, it's on paper going in, but I think you take that with Manaea, what he was at the end of last year, and what Senga was in his rookie year.
I like Senga more than you, and you like him. I really like him. I think Senga's going to have a huge year. I got to tell you, just, you know, because I know nobody wants to hear it. Trust me, I'm well aware of that. But these guys know, for like 3 or 4 months, I was walking around like, I think I tore my shoulder. Like, I'm telling Sal, like, came up on the air once in a while, but mostly off the air. Like, I don't know what I did to my left shoulder. Long story short, I finally went, I got the MRI, and they're like, it's an impingement. And I'm like, impingement? Like, I remember when I, and that's what Kodai Senga had a year ago before the calf injury when he came back. And I remember him like, impingement, suck it up, sack it up, impingement?
Right.
Wait, there's no fraying of the labrum or cartilage? What do you mean impingement? Just take a shot and pitch. You can't. And he was really, really hurt last year. And I think Kodai Senga is going to be an absolute stud this year.
Yeah, well, we'll see. He's got a lot to prove.
Give BT and Sal a call to talk New York sports at 888-808-1019. We are the home of New York sports talk. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's call today brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. John in Valley Stream has some thoughts about Harold Reynolds. John?
Well, listen, I love Harold Reynolds. I usually look forward to, you know, his interviews and stuff, and I thought I was going to get some good insight. And he basically laid a Cleveland steamer right on King and Queen Cone's doorstep. What the heck was that?
Well, I mean, I tried to tell him, but...
Well, John, hold on before we let you finish here. You know, you said you usually get good insight from Harold. I mean, that's his insight, because it might not match what you perceive to be, you know, the Mets. Like, yeah, it doesn't mean that he didn't give insight.
Nah, BT. That was like, tell me you don't know the Mets lineup without telling me you don't know the Mets lineup.
Huh.
I mean, you asked him who's going to take down the Dodgers, and he said the Phillies?
What are we talking about here? Phillies are good, John.
We exposed them as frauds last year. They are frauds.
Right.
At least say the Braves. That I can respect.
Yeah, BT and Sal on the Fan. In case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app, the Harold Reynolds interview. I don't have a problem with him saying if he thinks that the Phillies are going to be the team to take down the Dodgers. Sure, just because the Mets beat the Phillies last year doesn't mean anything come this year. But Harold was pretty critical and doubting the Mets. Put it this way, it caught my attention what he's saying. I'm thinking, wow, how are you way off on this? Like, how it pans out, fine, but to say the Mets need a lot more going in, I thought Harold was a little off on that, but we'll find out.
I don't think he was down on the Mets as much as he didn't meet the enthusiasm that a lot of people have so far. And those are two different things.
Fair enough. I don't know how much better of an offseason they could have had. After a year where they get to the NLCS out of nowhere, they go sign Soto, they bring back all the key guys who they were supposed to bring back, Manaea, and I don't even want Alonso back. I want a Willy Adamas, but like...
How about Walker Buehler?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, one more arm.
I wanted Walker Buehler, but he would have been instead of one of the others. So they felt, clearly, the better value was at Montas or Clay Holmes than they do Walker Buehler. And now, remember, Walker Buehler, there's a lot of question marks with him, too. Just because I like him or you might
like him
better.
Yep.
You know why we like him? Because he's got the potential to be a dominant force.
And you're getting him on the cheap?
Yeah, you're getting him on the cheap, and he's an ace. Whereas the other guy, like Montas, has the potential to be serviceable. Clay Holmes has the potential to be, like, serviceable or good. They don't have the upside that Walker Buehler has. But Walker Buehler always hurts.
Dude, our futures this year, I can't wait to do this.
You and me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to pay off the other one.
I know. Opening day.
You're making me sweat this out.
Opening day. That's what I've told you for
a
while.
So we're going to do our baseball over-unders before I even pay off the one from last year. Or in case you've getting in touch with this, I lost the season over-unders last year, so I have to dress up as the player that BT chooses. It could be anybody in the sport, in baseball history, like Wade Boggs, for example, whatever.
Or maybe perhaps a Darryl Strawberry as a Yankee. You know, there's a lot of ways I can go. Or maybe Dwight Gooden as a Yankee.
Yeah, I don't think you'd do that.
There's a lot of ways to go.
I don't think you'd do that to your buddy.
Well, you know. I was just dressed up as Brother Love.
I took it easy on you, Brother Love.
By the way, I messed that up. I didn't even say this because I had so much stress that day. I lean into it. It's fun.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, Hoff, man. Hoff destroyed me. Like, Hoff,
he had a great
costume. I look back at me as Brother. Number one, I'm too skinny for Brother Love.
Yeah, I don't think that was the issue.
Man,
the face
was too red. I'm bald. Like, I just had, it was tougher for me to pull off Brother Love than it was for him to pull off Papa Shango. However, Like, I'm not trying to understate how he pulled it off.
He looked great.
It was easier for him, but he crushed it.
I don't know if I'd say it's easier.
No, it is, because it's easier to shave hair than gain hair.
Yeah, but all you do is get a wig. I don't think that was even the problem. The wig, I know, was tough for you to find the right color.
Come on.
No, my bigger issue, looking back at the picture,
Yeah.
You didn't do the
wig
on the ears and the neck.
I know I didn't.
And that made, I think, like, I don't even think the red color.
It was too red, though, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
fine.
I looked like a tomato, man, strawberry.
Maybe, but I think that because you didn't do the ears and the neck, it made the red pop even
more.
You
think that's it?
I do. Because if you had it all unison red into the white, why don't we try it again? You want to try it again?
Yeah, okay, part two. I was just disappointed in myself because I saw the pit. Like, I almost said I was excited ordering this stuff on Amazon, but I'm like, all right, I got the white communion suit, I got the white pants, I got the red shirt like Beningo, I've got the white tie.
What'd Jen say? Usually she's the good judge and jury with this.
She said that I should be, when I wasn't sure who I was going to take.
Yeah, she said Brother Love.
She said Brother Love. Right, but I was kind of leaning Shango at first. And she's like, no, you got to go with Brother Love.
Did she say anything about the...
She's like, Hoff looked better. Okay. She was right. No, I know Hoff looked better.
Okay.
I tried.
Did she say what
I bought 10 freaking rings. I brought glasses. I brought a wig. I mean, I ordered red. I'm sorry if I don't know the various shades of red makeup. I just got red makeup.
I mean... I'm just saying.
But I was disappointed in how it came out. Like me as Goldust compared to me as Brother Love.
A little disappointed.
I didn't deliver. Yeah. I tried though. It wasn't a lack of effort.
I know. I think
I tried.
I really do think it was the ears and neck. Other people have they thought it was too red or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, a little too skinny. A couple things.
Let's finish
Plus,
up.
Plus, he looked great next to me.
Hoff did.
That was the thing. He looked amazing.
Right. Not only did you look maybe
average,
a little
average, yeah.
He absolutely nailed it as Papa Shango. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll finish up on the phones. Jim is in Valley Stream. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Hey, Jim.
Good. You guys have been talking once or twice about the idea of the Giants getting Stafford. Yeah. How about now that we have the opening with Rodgers' salary, let's get Stafford.
They don't have the money. I don't think they have the money.
What are we paying Rodgers?
Yeah, but it's just not as simple as deleting $40 million. There's still bonuses and some dead money.
Yeah, the cap hit is the big thing there. And thank you for the call. We don't know the exact stuff. I guess we'll figure that out once the Jets do officially make that move. And then I'm sure people will report on the finances. People know way more about it than we do. But if you do the math, the Giants are in very good salary cap
space. Giants are in great shape.
Yeah, so that's why we think it's a better fit.
But I did do some of the math. Remember this, guys. So there's a $49 million cap hit. It's the dead money. Now, the option for I did this yesterday, but if you guys missed it, it's all good. The option is to either take the full cap hit this year, which is what I propose I want them to do, and I don't want this thing to trickle into next year. I just want to have a full rebuild, start over, let's go. Now, if they do punt a portion of it to 2026, then they get hit with $35 million in 2026, which I don't want any part of. I don't know what their appetite is. The bottom line, it's not zero and zero just because Rodgers is not here,
point. If you do it all at once, then you'd have no chance to have Stafford.
Yeah.
Even if you split it, I'm not sure if you have a chance to have Stafford.
Me neither.
He's going to get a ton of money.
And you got, now, Devontae Adams is going to get you about $30 million. You can always rework some stuff and maybe cut Mosley, whatever. But you got to have money for Sauce and Garrett and the other guys. That's why Muji, coming in from Denver with the mess of Russell Wilson's contract, at least he's got a roadmap on how to navigate this.
Dave is calling from Smithtown. We talked about Michael Strahan before. Dave, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys, two quick things. Number one, with the Strahan thing, I'd be more pissed off if it was a current player rather than someone who hasn't been on the team in 20 years. I mean, the Giants have bigger problems, but all good.
Oh, you guys are getting soft. Yeah. Jeez.
But anyway... Listen, the Giants have bigger problems. I mean, but anyway, listen, you guys talking to Howard Reynolds about the CBA.
Yep.
And I know it's 2 years from now, but let me say this, you know, all these other sports have salary caps. The NHL shut down for a year. If they didn't do that, the Florida Panthers wouldn't have existed to win the Stanley Cup. And they would have beaten the Rangers. The Rangers would have won the Cup.
Woo!
But besides that, if this sport does not get a salary cap and the players' union doesn't get their act together, there's going to be teams like Florida, Tampa. I mean, I know Oakland's moving to Las Vegas, but there is good at this sport is not going to recover like it did in 98 with the home run race. And I
agree.
Wanted your opinion on that.
I think baseball is a good call. And I've said this. I think baseball is in dire trouble because there is no way the players' union is going to consent to a cap. And there is no way that baseball economically can survive without some form of a cap. So there's going to have to be other concessions made to entice one side or the other to cave a little bit. I think that I hate to say that. I think there's going to be a massive stoppage.
If there is a work stoppage, now, look, they always get us back. I'm not just talking about you and me, BT, us. I'm talking about us.
Mm-hmm.
Us as sports fans. We always say, screw them. If they do this, there's no recovering. They always get us back. How they do it may be different. It was different in, you know, in 98 than it was or than it would be if there is one. Although I will tell you, as a now 45-year-old adult, you know, the 14-year-old kid in me in 94 was heartbroken, but I was in love with Major League Baseball.
That was tough, man. I almost understood it. Yankees were so good that year, too. Yeah. Yep, keep going.
And the Mets were not, but like I still loved baseball. I loved it so much.
It just hurt me for Mattingly because I'd never seen Donnie play yet. I'm like, this is destroying me as a baseball fan.
But getting me back was a lot easier when I loved it so much as a kid. Now, I'm smarter than I was at 14. Barely. But I'm smarter than I was at 14.
Yeah.
And there are things in life that are a lot more serious than sports. Especially you get older, you experience certain things.
No question.
I have now, we're in a pickle here because we do this for a living. So there's that whole part of it. I'm going to ignore that part of it for a second, which is the obvious. Like, I need it to come back. We're going to be talking about it hopefully forever, like whatever.
Yep.
But the fan in me at 45, if they give us the proverbial finger, I cannot tolerate that any longer. I can't. As a fan, I would totally understand every single person who didn't work in sports or who didn't love the game to the extent that maybe some of us nut jobs do. Or even if they do, but just were hurt beyond repair, I would totally understand if they say, screw you. You guys are making hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And you're going to, it was bad enough during the pandemic where we had that issue.
Yeah.
Remember all that nonsense that we got into?
Oh, God. Plastic cutouts in the stands?
I can't. Well, I'm talking about the length, how many games they were going to play. Remember figuring that out?
Of course I remember that. Yeah, they wound up playing on 60, settling on 60. Yeah.
You selfish SOBs.
Yep.
We just want a distraction and want the sports that we love, which is ideally or ultimately here to provide us an escape from an otherwise challenging reality. I will never forgive Major League Baseball if and when they strike.
I couldn't agree more. That was very well said.
Doesn't mean I won't watch or be back into it. Like, we kind of have to.
Fake a little enthusiasm for the job. But, you would drain me so much that I would be a different baseball fan from that point forward.
Correct. It would change forever.
I agree.
Still
with
be
you.
A fan,
yep.
But different.
All right, man.
That does it for us. Back again tomorrow at 10 a.m. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hoff. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.